Praise the Lord. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This morning, as we celebrate Father's Day, our message is titled, A Father of God's Choosing. A Father of God's Choosing. Bertrand Russell, a British philosopher, said, choose your parents wisely. Of course, by the chuckle, you know that even though this is sage advice offered to children, it's tongue-in-cheek, because you can't choose your parents. And so this statement is a paradox, because in principle, parents do have the greatest influence over our lives, but children have no choice in who their parents will be. Interestingly, though, in Scripture, God did make such a choice when he prepared to send his son into this world as a human being. Read with me, if you will, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. The scripture says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her privately. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. You know, from all the men and women on earth in that day, God not only selected Mary to be the human vessel through whom his son would be born on this earth, but in his divine will, God chose Joseph to be Jesus's earthly father. And though he was not Jesus's biological father, God entrusted Joseph with the very important responsibility of raising Jesus, the Son of God, to manhood. And this illustrates a significant point. The role of a father is much more than the biological act of conceiving a child, but it is the emotional and spiritual nurture essential to raising that child to a godly, healthy, and productive human being that will fulfill God's calling and destiny. Joseph played a vital role in raising Jesus, and it demonstrates the important role, the significant role that fathers still play today. Now, Joseph is often overlooked, being overshadowed by the emphasis placed on Mary. If you think about it, you've probably heard a slew of messages on Mary, but you rarely hear messages on Joseph. So this being Father's Day, let's focus our attention on Joseph, a father of God's choosing. And we have to ask the question, why, of all the men on earth in that day, did God choose Joseph to raise his son? You know, I read an article that encouraged parents with minor children to choose someone who would raise your children in the event that you were not able to do so, and to make sure that it was right in writing in the form of a will. And the article suggested choosing someone with whom you had a close personal relationship. Someone who has shared spiritual and moral values. Someone who is loving and compassionate. Someone who is able and willing to commit themselves to the responsibility of raising someone else's child. Now, certainly, you would carefully consider these and other important qualities in designating a guardian that would choose to raise your children if you were ever unable to do so. And hopefully, your designation would never need to be executed. But today, we want to look at the qualities that God carefully considered in choosing a father to raise his son. Qualities that every godly man should aspire to embody in his own life. and qualities that we should appreciate and honor in those fathers who exemplify them in their life. The first thing we want to see is that a father of God's choosing is devoted to family, devoted to family. A father of God's choosing is first and foremost devoted to his wife. The scripture presents a portrait of Joseph as being very caring and affectionate towards Mary. How do we know? He was engaged to Mary. Mary was his love, who he was preparing to take as his wife when he discovers that she's pregnant. What was he to think? What would anyone think in a situation like that? He had not yet received an angelic visitor to explain to him what had happened with Mary. And Joseph was a righteous man who carefully observed the law of God, and he believed when he became engaged to Mary that she was a godly girl. They had committed to purity before marriage because they observed the law of God. They were righteous. They had all of these plans and dreams for the future, a home, children, a business, and then suddenly he receives the shocking news that Mary is pregnant. And he knew the baby was not his because he had not had any sexual relations with Mary. He thought he knew Mary so well. How could she have done such a thing to him? And no doubt he must have been hurt. He must have been angry. He must have felt betrayed. And in that day, according to Old Testament law, the penalty for adultery was stoning to death. And it applied to the engagement period as well as the marriage. And in the midst of his pain and anger, he could have publicly disgraced her or legalistically demanded that she be stoned to death. But instead, he had compassion upon her. He showed her great grace. The same attitude Jesus would later show to the woman caught in the act of adultery and to every other sinner that he met. A quality that his father Joseph exemplified in the way that he treated Mary before he received the angelic visitor. Verse 19 says, Joseph did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her privately. And what does that tell us? It tells us that he put his hurt feelings to the side. He put his anger to the side, and he considered the kindest way that he could deal with the situation. Joseph is an example of the type of love that God calls husbands to have towards their wives. In Ephesians 5:25, Paul writes, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." God calls husbands to love their wives self-sacrificially, to put their wives above their own selves, above their own feelings, above their own desires. And this is the kind of love that Joseph showed towards Mary, even when he thought she had hurt him deeply and shattered his dreams. Despite the wrong that he thought she had done, he was willing to put himself and put his feelings to the side to act towards her in love and in kindness. Joseph's love for Mary was based on a self-sacrificial commitment to her well-being. And every man who seeks to serve God should pray that God forms in him the heart that we see in Joseph, the heart that Paul described, a heart that loves and is devoted to his wife, putting her before himself in all circumstances. And this morning, we applaud the men who are living that way. This morning, we honor the men who have this kind of love and devotion towards their wives. A father of God's choosing is also devoted to his children. Joseph was devoted to Jesus as his son, even though Jesus was not his biological child. And this is an especially important trait today in an age where there are so many blended families. And there are fathers raising children who are not biologically their own. And we applaud all of those fathers that are raising children that are not your biological offspring, but you love and care for them as your very own. And we honor you this morning. You see, Joseph, in essence, adopted Jesus as his own son and treated him as his own son. So much so that Joseph was willing to uproot his entire family, leave his carpentry business in Nazareth, and flee to Egypt in order to protect Jesus from the murderous jealousy of Herod. What does that tell us? That even though Jesus was not Joseph's biological son, Joseph treated him as such. His son was his priority. He protected his son. He provided for his son. He nurtured and cared for his son. He even trained Jesus in the craft of carpentry. He was everything a father should be to this son who was not a son of his flesh. In a day and age when so many men have forsaken their role as a father, we want to applaud those men here today who, like Joseph, are real dads to their children, whether they are biological or not. Those dads who prioritize their kids, put their kids first ahead of themselves. Those fathers who will do anything and go to any length to protect those children. Those fathers who work hard to provide for their children. Those fathers who nurture and care for their children. We applaud those fathers who are real dads today. The father of God's choosing is a loving man who is devoted to his family, to his wife, and to his children. And secondly, a father of God's choosing is dedicated to God. Dedicated to God. A father of God's choosing is a man who loves and serves the Lord. You see, serving the Lord was a way of life for Joseph. From before Jesus was born, the scripture says he was a righteous man who observed the law of God. So serving the Lord was a way of life. And when Jesus was 8 days old, Joseph took his family up to the temple to dedicate Jesus to the Lord. And this was in that day more than just a ceremony. It was an act of recognizing God's lordship, God's ownership over this child, of recognizing this child as a gift from God, and of recognizing his own responsibility of a father to raise the child in the ways of the Lord and to be an example of godliness before his son. Every year, the scripture tells us that Joseph led his family to Jerusalem to worship during the feast of Passover and the feasts of Israel. When Joseph was 12, they took him to the temple according to the custom. And what we see is Joseph led his family to worship and serve the Lord by his example of dedication to worship and service unto God. We know later that Joseph had other children with Mary, and at least two of them, James and Jude, grew up to serve the Lord and were mightily used of God. James became the leader of the church in Jerusalem, and Jude later wrote one of the New Testament books. This was a legacy of Joseph's dedication to the Lord. It made a lasting imprint on his children's lives so that Jesus grew up to be the Savior of the world. And James and Jude grew up to be ministers, leaders of the church. And the question, dads, that you should ask yourself, what kind of legacy are you leaving to your children? What kind of legacy, what kind of impact are you having on their lives for the Lord? And we applaud all the dads that are dedicated to serving the Lord. And you lead your family to worship. You lead your family to come to the house of the Lord on Sundays and on Wednesdays. You lead your family to serve the Lord by being involved in ministry. You are leading your family to worship and love the Lord by praying in the house, by having family devotions. Yes. And we applaud all the dads that are dedicated to serving the Lord by leading your family by your example to love and serve the Lord. The father of God's choosing is a man who hears from God. Joseph heard from God to marry Mary even though she was pregnant. Joseph heard from God to take his family and flee to Egypt to escape Herod's murderous decree. What does that tell us? Joseph had an intimate and personal relationship with God and regularly heard and recognized God's voice and allowed God to lead and direct his decisions and actions. Men, how is your relationship with God? Do you regularly hear from God? And are you so surrendered to God that you allow him to lead and to direct your choices and your decisions? We honor all of the fathers here who are men that have a personal and intimate relationship with God. You hear from God and you allow God to lead and direct your life, your choices, your decisions. The father of God's choosing is a man who believes God. When the angel of the Lord told Joseph that the child Mary was carrying had been conceived by the Holy Spirit, as far-fetched as it sounded, as humanly impossible as it was, he believed the word from the Lord. It took faith to pack and relocate to Egypt with no means of support. You're going to a foreign country. You're leaving your business behind. No means of support. No time to plan, no time to prepare, but simply because God said so. God said so. He believed the word of the Lord. He could have made all sorts of excuses, all sorts of rationalizations, why he couldn't do such a thing, why he had to keep his business going, why he couldn't leave his family, why he couldn't uproot his new family. But he believed. He believed. Dads, your faith has a great impact on your children. Raise them in an atmosphere of faith. Let them see you in the trying times, in the challenging times, in the difficult times, believing the Lord. Let them see in your life that the Word of God is for more than just hearing. It's for more than just preaching, but that it is for living and it is for believing, and that it works in your day-to-day life when you trust God, when you believe his word and you act in faith upon his word. When they see you pray through in the times of need, when they see you pray through in times when sickness afflicts your body or affects your family, when they see you pray through in times of difficulty and trial, and when they see that God comes through on your behalf, they too will learn to trust the Lord. They too will learn to believe and act in faith. Hallelujah. We honor all of the fathers here today that are men of prayer and of faith. You are creating an atmosphere for your children to believe and trust God. You are creating an atmosphere of faith for your family where God can do mighty things. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. The father of God's choosing is a man who obeys God. When God said, "Marry Mary," Joseph didn't argue. Joseph didn't make excuses. Joseph didn't question. He took Mary as his wife. When God said the child that she's carrying is conceived of the Spirit and will be the Savior of the world, so you are to call his name Jesus, which means Savior, when the child was born, he called his name Jesus. He obeyed the word of the Lord. When God told him to uproot his family and go to Egypt, Joseph left everything, his home, his extended family, his business, and he obeyed. When God told him that it was time to return to Israel, he once again uprooted himself and his family, and he obeyed the Lord. Joseph did not stubbornly insist on his will. Joseph did not hold fast to the plan that he had made for his life, but he submitted and allowed God to guide him. Joseph was a man who walked in obedience to God and his word. And we honor all men here today who walk in obedience to God, because you are teaching your children to submit their lives to God. You are teaching your children that the best path in life is a path of obedience to God. You are setting a wonderful example of submission to God for your children. And we honor all of the men here today who are walking in obedience to God. Thirdly, a father of God's choosing is discerning of the times. Discerning of the times. Ephesians 5:15 through 17 says, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And I want us to see that a father of God's choosing understands that his time is limited. The last time that we hear of Joseph in Scripture is when he took his family to Jerusalem for Passover and Jesus was 12 years old. Most Bible scholars believe that Joseph died when Jesus was still yet young. And one of the reasons that they believe that is because at the cross, Jesus entrusted his mother to John for his care, to take her up, which would have been the responsibility of the eldest son, to take her up as his care. So Joseph died relatively young when Jesus was still young. Joseph's time with his children was limited, but he made the most of it. And he left a lasting legacy so that his children loved and served the Lord. You might say, well, his other children loved and served the Lord because Jesus was their brother. No, because the Bible tells us that Jesus's brothers and sisters did not believe that he was the Son of God until after he rose again from the dead. But Joseph had instilled in them a faith in the one true and living God. And we applaud all the fathers here who know that your time is limited. Not that you think that you're going to pass at an early age, but even if you live, and we pray you all will, to a long and late age, your time with your children is limited. Blink and they are grown up. You know, I've been pastoring this church now. In February, it'll be 26 years.
Amen.
And some of the people that are worshiping among us here when we started the church, they were kids. They were young people. And you look at them now, and they're adults, and they're married, and they have their own kids. Pastor Jose was a teenager when he started attending this church. And you look at him now, and he's grown up, and he has a family. Monique, who was singing in worship this morning, she was a little girl when she started attending this church. And now she's grown up, and she's married, and she has two children. And you say, where has the time gone? Because I haven't aged. Hallelujah. I'm still 28 like when I started the church. If you believe that one, I've got some swamp land to sell you in the Everglades. But it doesn't feel like I've gotten old. They're the ones that are aging. And you think, where did the time go? And if I feel that way and they're not my kids, how you must feel when you look at them sometimes, look at your children, and think, where did the time go? The time passes before you know it. Before you know it. And we applaud all the fathers here who know that your time is limited, because none of us is guaranteed tomorrow, and your children will be grown and gone before you know it. So make the most of today to love and to nurture your children, to train them up in the ways of the Lord, and to make an imprint on their lives for God that will go with them for the rest of their lives. A father of God's choosing understands God's will. He understands that the most important thing in life is to serve God. The most important thing in life is to serve God. And the second most important thing in life is to raise your family to serve the Lord. And a father who understands God's will wisely uses the short time that he has to live a righteous life and to lead his family to love and serve the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that you're constantly preaching at your family. Amen?
Yeah.
But it means that you're living before them a life that so radiates Christ that your actions are loving, that your actions are gracious, that your actions are kind, that your actions are patient, that your actions are generous, that your actions are self-controlled. You reflect the character of Christ. And so by what your children see in you as you testify to them that you serve the Lord, your life is so attractive to them, so desirable to them, that they want to serve the God that you profess to serve. Amen? So I'm not saying beat your family over the head with a Bible. I'm not saying that every time your kids breathe, quote a scripture to them. Amen? But I'm saying to just live before. The Bible says that we are to be the fragrance of Christ.
Come on now.
Not the odor of Christ.
Oh, yeah.
The fragrance of Christ. And odor repels. Have you ever smelled one of those overpowering smells that you just got to get away from it? Okay. An odor repels. A fragrance draws you in. Amen. There was a fragrance on 441 when there used to be a wholesome bakery down there by about 183rd Street. And there was a fragrance in the air of baking bread. There's nothing that smells better than fresh baked bread. You'd be driving down 441 and your car would just automatically want to make that turn. Amen. Sometimes coming out of, I don't eat meat anymore, but sometimes coming out of church, you smell Outbacks.
Come on now.
And they've got those big chimneys for their grills, for the steaks. Of course, they smell a lot better than they used to taste, but the smell would just waft through the air. And even if you weren't hungry, it would make you hungry. Amen? That's a fragrance, folks. And that's what we are supposed to be for Christ to others. A fragrance that draws. A fragrance that makes people hungry. Hungry for Jesus. And fathers, that's what you are supposed to be for your family. A fragrance that makes them hungry for the Jesus that you profess to serve. A fragrance that draws them into Christ. And we applaud all the fathers here as the worship team comes back. We applaud all the fathers here who serve God as their first priority and hold their family as their second priority. You make time for your family. You're not always consumed at work or consumed with a hobby. But you make time for God and you make time for your family because you understand that God calls you to make those two things your priority and your time is limited. You don't go around saying, well, next year I'll make them my priority. Next year I'll make God my priority. Because you don't know that you'll have next year. You don't know that you'll have tomorrow. So you make God your priority today and you make your family your priority today. We commend all of the fathers here who are fathers that God would choose. Fathers who are devoted to their family, to their wife, to their children. Fathers who are dedicated to God. And fathers who are discerning of the time. For all dads, let Joseph be an inspiration to you. I'm sure that Joseph wasn't perfect, but he did have the qualities that God chose to raise his son. Qualities that pleased God. We honor those that are striving to have those qualities. And for those that are in that journey to be the father that God would choose, ask God to help you to be more devoted to your wife and to your children. Ask God to help you to be a man who serves God faithfully and to grow in your relationship with God. To be a father who has a personal and intimate relationship with God. And ask God to help you to be a man who understands that your time is limited. Time is fleeting. It passes so fast. And ask God to help you to strive to lead your family to serve the Lord. Ask God to help you to make God your first priority and your family your second priority, so that by what they see in you, they will desire to serve the Lord. I'm going to ask all the dads that are here this morning, if you would, just to make your way to this altar. Would you just come down to this altar and let's just take a few moments in the presence of the Lord? You know, you may already be exemplifying some of these qualities, but all of us has room to grow. So come to this altar and just ask God to help you to grow in these areas that we have looked at this morning. Ask God to help you to become the father He wants you to be. Even if your children are grown, you can still be an influence in their lives. Dads, would you just take a moment to speak to the Lord from your heart? If you haven't been the kind of father you know you should be, take a moment and ask God to forgive you. And then ask Him to help you. Isn't it wonderful that He's a God of second and third and fourth and tenth chances? Ask God to help you from this time forward. For those of you that are already striving to live this way, ask God to help you to grow even more in these qualities in your life. Lift up your voice to the Lord. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for each and every one of these dads that are in Your house this morning. I want to thank You that they made the decision when they woke up today to start their day in the house of the Lord. Father, I pray that no matter where they are on the journey of being the father that You want them to be, that You would meet them at the altar this morning, that You would hear the cry of their heart, Lord God. Father, if any has failed in time past to be the kind of dad that they know You would want them to be, I pray even now that Your grace would flow towards them, Lord God. Father, that they would not have condemnation over their past failings, but Father, that they would accept Your grace today and realize that this day is an opportunity for a new beginning, Lord God, and that they would invite Your help in their lives to change them and make them who You want them to be. Father, I pray for those that are already in that journey, striving to be the God that the Father that You, God, have chosen them to be. And I pray, Lord God, that You would just strengthen them in their inner man, Lord God, and that You would enable them by the power of the Holy Spirit to develop the qualities in their fullness so that they can be a reflection of You to their children, Lord God, so that they can be an example of godliness and faith. And so that they can be a fragrance of Christ, that their children will be drawn to You, that their children will become hungry for Jesus because of the life they see lived in their father's life. Father, I pray Your blessing upon each and every one of these dads today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.